scripture reading this morning is from the book of Amos. In it, the prophet Amos is issuing some challenging words to the people of Israel. So hear now Amos chapter 5, verses 10 through 13 and 21 through 24. You hate the one who reproves in court and despise him who tells the truth. You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great are your sins. You oppress the righteous and you take bribes and you deprive the poor of justice in the courts. No wonder the prudent man keeps silent in such an evil time. And now verses 21 through 24. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of God for the people of God. So you might be wondering why, as I embark on my seminary career in the hopes of becoming an ordained minister and perhaps becoming a pastor of a congregation someday, why I chose a passage that seems to speak against the entire service of worship and all of its trappings. There were a couple of times this week when I, too, wondered why I did that. But I just want to say right off the bat that this is not what the passage is saying to us. Amos is one of several prophets who attack religious hypocrisy. And that is the feeling that all is well as long as the external forms of ritual are observed, even though the most basic principles of social justice and neighborly love are completely ignored. In fact, the entire book of Amos is a radical call for social justice, as well as a condemnation of excessive luxury and moral complacency. The book of Amos was written at a rare time in the ancient history of Israel. It was after the split between the northern and southern kingdoms, and the northern kingdom of Israel was enjoying a rare time of relative peace and prosperity. So what did they do with this newfound good fortune? Well, they oppressed the poor and trampled on the needy, among other sins, and particularly their neighbors to the south, their brothers, really, the smaller, more vulnerable kingdom of Judah. The affluent northerners would cheat and lie and were looking out only for themselves. They take advantage of those less fortunate. So when Amos shows up from the south and calls them out for their behavior, oh, they all cry out, oh no, we offer our burnt sacrifices every morning, and we bring our tithes and offerings when we're supposed to. You know, we go by the book. We do what we're supposed to do. So look at us. We are good and righteous people. Well, no. Sorry, says Amos. The Lord told me that wasn't quite good enough. All this faithful adherence to how we're supposed to worship means nothing if it does not lead to a righteous life. In other words, all this ritual is meaningless unless it leads you to let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an unending stream. Carol Shepherd, our 2017 annual conference moderator, in her article titled The Challenge of Abundance, posed this question about Amos. Is it possible to enjoy prosperity and be faithful? If so, how? And I have to admit, I don't have an answer to that question. I want to say yes to the first part. Yes, I think we can enjoy prosperity and still be faithful people. But the second part, the how, I'm still working on. And it's something that I struggle with quite a bit, pretty much every day. How do I enjoy the privileges of my life and still not trample on the poor, which I don't do intentionally, but sometimes we do it unintentionally. I like my nice house, and I like my nice things, but I think that perhaps this scripture is calling us to do more, calling me to do more. We are currently living in uncertain times in this country and in the world. This can lead to a great deal of anxiety and the sort of knee-jerk reaction to look after one's own interests first. We live in a time when bankers run foreclosure machines and engage in worst banking practices and predatory lending, and then turn around and sell their banks for billions of dollars because their banks are so successful. And then they hide their billions in the Cayman Islands so they don't even pay taxes on them, which could perhaps help to support social services that might help the people that they have made homeless. We live in a time when it is more and more acceptable to belittle and intimidate those who are different or weaker than we are. So what then are we to do? And these words from Amos haunt me. No wonder the prudent man keeps silent, for the times are so evil. Wait a second, is he telling us to be silent? I don't think so. Given that this line falls in the list of bad behaviors in the book of Amos, along with complacency and self-indulgent, I'm not sure that prudent is used in an altogether complimentary way in this passage. In fact, I think we are being called to be a little imprudent in the way that Martin Luther King Jr. was. He knew that speaking out and protesting was putting his life in danger. He knew that others had been killed for doing this, and yet he still spoke out because it was the right thing to do. Emily Bazelon wrote in the New York Times recently, "If we can't count on our leaders to counteract bigotry, then we have to redouble our efforts to do so ourselves." The more evil the times, the more imprudent I feel we must be. And the news in Amos is not all dire. We can save ourselves, and it's very easy. We just have to create justice and righteousness in the world. As my professor Nancy Bowen said, God is very good at the big picture, but he's not very good at the details. Those he leaves up to us. And I must say that I actually think here in this church community, we do a pretty good job. But we must be ever vigilant, and we must not become complacent or self-satisfied. So then, we come to the question of why Amos is saying, "I hate, I despise your religious festivals." What's that all about? Why do we worship? Why do we assemble here and bring our offerings and listen to the music of the harps, or in this case, the guitar and the horns? What is the point if, according to Amos, all of this is not making God very happy? As I said, I don't think Amos was telling us not to worship. What he was doing was condemning empty worship. I think instead he was calling us to full worship. That is, worship that extends beyond these four walls and beyond this hour on a Sunday morning. Spencer Bradford wrote in his article, Enough for Our Needs, Enough for the Needs of All, that the Sabbath instructions did not create a social utopia, but instead enjoined as a divine priority systemic action for social equity and economic justice. It's a good Mennonite. So that is the point. In other words, these rituals are not an end in and of themselves, but rather a means to an end, a means for us to become more Christian people and bring that out into the world. I know for me, coming to church every Sunday is a necessity. I need to be somewhere every week where I hear the word of God in scripture, in song, in prayer, and in the voices of those around me. We need to use this space and this time to guide us and to embolden us, to empower us, and to equip us to go forth and live as true followers of Christ in a world that is not always sympathetic to our values. So, it is good to praise the Lord, to worship, to give thanks, to give our tithes and offerings, to sing the beautiful hymns and listen to the choir, but that is not what makes us righteous people. It's what we carry out of the door with us when we leave here. It is how we go forth and witness and bear fruit, and what we do with the other 167 hours in the week that makes for our true, full worship. Amen.